Praise band, just so you know, my wife said she could barely stay seated there during that anthem. She said she appreciates it. All right. Friends, where have you seen perfection in life? And by seeing it, somehow your life is different and you carry it with you forward. Now, what do you do with it? Do you hide it away within yourself? Or do you somehow allow it to shine through you and affect the world around you? Clint Johnson was just a poor farmer. He was dying of cancer in his 70s. He lived in southern Ohio, and the only thing that he had to his name was his former little farmhouse that he and his family had lived in all of his years, and this piece of land that had seemed to be in the family's name for forever. He didn't have a whole lot, but he had that land, and it was a land in which he was so proud of because he saw his five children grow up and grow strong there. They had a tree up by a little old creek that ran through the church, or that ran through the property. And in one hot summer day, he and his kids, when his kids were young, they threw a rope up over one of the branches and they turned it into a rope swing. And the kids would swing on that during the hot summer mornings and drop into the water. And while Clint was dealing with all the tedious moments of life, he would look across his farm fields and see his kids playing there. And it just filled his heart full of joy as he did his work. Now that rope swing also became a point of scandal at one point in the family's history. You see, the neighbor kids knew about it, and they would come over and play with his kids, and on a particularly hot August day, all of the kids decided it was too hot for clothes, and so they stripped down and swung on that rope swing and dropped into the water and did a little skinny dipping. And when the other parents of the community found out, Clint almost was tempted to cut down that rope to end that activity there, but he just couldn't do it. That place was just the epitome of innocence for him. It was a place that was full of too much joy. Now, Clint, like I said, was diagnosed with cancer when he was in his 70s. And very quickly, he made the determination he was not going to fight it. His kids were all had grown, and they had children of their own. And he didn't have a whole lot to leave them. And he knew the treatment and all the things were going to be very expensive. And he just didn't have the money to do that. And the last thing he wanted to do was to have to sell that piece of property, that one thing that he was going to be able to pass down to his family. He couldn't imagine that piece of property that was so full of memories and joy and laughter being passed on to somebody else and divided up to simply be turned into a development. And so he made his peace with God. He made his peace with his decision, and he simply decided he would live life the way he always had. He'd wake up every morning with a word of thanks upon his lips. Now, one Sunday afternoon, the kids all gathered together to enjoy a Sunday lunch just after going to church. The family would all go to church together, and all the kids who are now grown would pull their cars into the long, winding gravel driveway, and they'd pile out. And there were so many people that were there, so many family were there, that they'd have to eat in shifts because there just wasn't room inside of the house. And it made Clint remember back to the time period in which he grew up. He grew up in the Depression, and the family had their own customs back in those days, that the adults always ate first. And the way that they reasoned this is that the adults were the ones who had to go out and try to find labor and work wherever they possibly could. And if the adults were not healthy and strong, well, then that would be disastrous for the entire family. And so Clint remembered as a little boy watching all of his favorite foods disappear from the line of food until at long last there was something just like green bean casserole left over, something he just had no interest in eating. And so when he became the man of the house, he said, for me and my household, things are going to be different. And the children, from his littlest child to his littlest grandchild, he turned things around. He said, you know what? The littlest ones in my household will go first. And so on that Sunday afternoon, he was sick, and he was just totally sick. The disease had worn him down, and he had no appetite, and he just simply sat in his recliner and watches all the little ones move through the line, picking out their favorite foods, and just filled his heart with joy. He listened to the kids while playing in the yard around him. He heard them swinging on that rope swing, that's the same swing that he had put up 40 years before. And it just filled his heart with joy. The day couldn't have been more perfect. Now, at the end of the day, the last of the cars pulled out of the driveway, and Clint and his wife waved goodbye to their last child as they pulled away. They sat at their kitchen table together and for a moment, and then Clint stood up, pushed his chair in, and kissed his wife on her forehead. He went outside, and he stopped on the front porch, and he looked over this land that had been so good to him, a land that had truly, in his eyes, been a gift from God. He looked at that, and he looked at that old tree out back and that rope swing. He walked out to that swing and he stood beside that tree, put his hand on the tree, and it reminded him of the steadiness of God's presence always in his life. That, you know, God had been with him in the good days and God had been with him in those shaky days too. He touched that rope swing that was so epitomized the joy and the perfection of the little glimpses of perfection that he had gotten from his children's laughter that helped him to understand more about who this loving God is that we worship. He looked back to the house. He saw his wife sitting there looking out of the window. He waved goodbye to her, blew her a kiss, and then he knelt down beside that tree. And as the sun went down, Clint handed his life back over to his Heavenly Father. He died there. In the meantime, he had left a letter behind to his kids. He had spent the time composing that letter that afternoon because he knew his time was near. And he wanted his kids to know that he died with joy in his heart. And that day couldn't have been more perfect because in his laughter and the family and the love that they shared, he got a little glimpse of what heaven probably will look like. So friends, when have you seen that picture of heaven in your life? When have you gotten that glimpse of perfection? And when you see that little glimpse of perfection, what do you do with it? Do you carry it with you? Do you shut it up inside? Or does it light the steps that you take, even in the hardest days of life that we walk? Today we celebrate the Transfiguration Sunday, a time period in which Jesus goes up on the mountain because he needs to spend time with his Heavenly Father. You see, so many times before we make a major transition in life, and Jesus was getting ready to go on his final journey towards the cross, to give his life for the entire world, that we, in times of transition, we tend to go and spend time with those who matter most to us because we need to see their faces again. So he went to spend time with his Heavenly Father because he needed to be with God to give him the strength that he would need to walk to the cross. We all do the same thing. Friends of mine who have been deployed overseas to go serve our nation, serving in the military, I remember they've done their tours of going to see their friends and their family before going overseas. Joel Gerbrick did something very similar before he went over to Africa to serve our Savior over in Africa. He went to see his family and friends throughout the area. That's one of those things that we do. We carry those pictures of those faces with us wherever we go. Because somehow within those faces, we see a little glimpse of the love that God has for each and every one of us. And we carry that forward wherever life leads us. Moses did the same thing. When life was becoming too hard, when he was probably ready to quit, he went up on the mount, on Mount Sinai, and he spent some time with God for 40 days and 40 nights because he needed to let go of the responsibility of leadership for a period of time. And he sat with God, and there his face became radiant because being in God's presence. And there God handed down the Ten Commandments to Moses. That in all major transitions in life, that is what we do. We go and we need to see a little glimpse of the perfection of God's love, a little glimpse of that light to shine into our lives, to help us to walk the next steps that we'll take. Now, we can't stay on that mountain forever. Certainly, Moses had to go back down to be with the people. And when he did, he comes to find out that there was a whole mess going on down below that he had to deal with. And the same thing was for the disciples. When the disciples, James and Peter and John, went up on the mountain, they were in awe when Jesus' face was transfigured. His face became shining like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. And they were in awe. They saw perfection right there in front of them, to the point in which they didn't want to leave that. I mean, if you ever find perfection in life, when would you ever want to leave that? When would you ever want to not hear the laughter of your children again? When are you ready to let go of that? None of us ever are ready to let go of those beautiful, amazing moments of life. But Peter, James, and John, their mistake is our mistake also, because we can't stay in those moments of perfection forever. We can't stay on the mountaintop forever. There's a whole lot of the world's problems that we need to climb back down to the mountain to go and address. And so what Peter, James, and John did is they saw the light of Christ shining into their lives, literally from his face, to confirm that they were following and moving in the right direction. But they needed to go back down into the world because there were things that they still yet had to do. And there are things that all of us still yet have to do. And so where is it that you've seen perfection in life? What light is shown into your life that you don't stop, you don't keep it for yourself, but you let it shine on so that the world will see a little picture, a little glimpse of Jesus through the life that you choose to live. Now, one of the things that I like to do is, I remember at Lakewood Methodist Church, I don't know if you remember Lakewood Methodist Church, it was the first church that I served full time, and we would go into the sanctuary in the western transept. I mean, it had a stained glass wall that was probably as high as our ceiling. It was just absolutely beautiful. And when the sun was going down in the west, the sunlight would come shining through that, and the entire sanctuary was lit by this multicolored light. It was just absolutely gorgeous. You go in there when no one else is in there, and it was what a place of absolute peace. I would just sit in there and pray at the end of the day. But stained glass is beautiful, but it also teaches us a lesson about who we are as people. You see, when God's light shines through the stained glass, not all of the rays of light make it through. Parts of them become obstructed. In some of the panes of glass, only the colors of blue shine through, in others only the reds, or in others only the green. And that's a statement of who we are as people. That when God's light shines upon us, His light comes through us in an imperfect way. Not all of it makes it all the way through. It also is a statement to say that we only can understand God's love only in a partial way. We don't fully grasp the whole extent of the great love that God has for all of us. Ultimately, what our goal is as Christians, as humans, is to simply be this transparent pane of glass, to let all of God's light touch us and then transfer right directly through us, so when the world looks at us, they get to see a little picture of Jesus Christ. And then when that way, what we would say is we are living in a perfect way, in which God's light is passing through us completely unobstructed for the world to see. Now you might say, well, when in the world does that happen? Well, the reality is it may have happened in your life. But by the time that you have done it, by the time that you realize it, usually it's over. That moment of perfection has gone on. I mentioned in the first service, perhaps the choir is singing in a way in which all of their night notes are hitting just perfectly, or the praise band, you guys are all in perfect rhythm, and the rhythm of the drums is causing the congregation to feel the rhythm of life that God wants us all to feel. And in that moment, perhaps through your playing, perhaps people understand God a little bit more completely. And we see a little picture of Jesus Christ in our lives. Samantha, perhaps with a family in which you're meeting with over at the Akron Children's Hospital, perhaps you sit down with a family whose child is horribly sick, and you talk to them, and they get a sense of peace, and by looking at you, suddenly they think, my Lord, God, my God is somehow nearer. And in those perfect words that provide peace to a troubled mind, they get a little picture of Jesus, and God's light shines through us a little bit more perfectly in that moment. Or Mike, perhaps when we're at Grace Park one time and you're just simply having a conversation and you're laughing with somebody who's hungry and they feel the joy and they understand for a moment, we know that they're going to be hungry again, but for that moment they see a picture of who Jesus Christ is more clearly. Those are those moments that we all strive for as Christians. To not stop the love of God, to be obstructed shining through us, but to allow that light to shine in and through us completely unobstructed into the world. To be that transparent glass. And that's what happened that day in the Transfiguration. God's light shone through Jesus Christ in a completely unobstructed way, in which His face changed to be radiant like the sun. And it affected Peter, James, and John in such a way that they became the leaders of the church. Now, believe me, they would question, they would eventually question what happened there on that Transfiguration. I mean, none of them stayed with Him on that day in which Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. They all ran away. And when we get caught up in the tediousness of life, when we get caught up again in those problems of the world, we tend to forget those little pictures of Jesus that we see along the way. We tend to forget that we can be that transparent glass, allowing God's light to flow through us. But we have to remember. We have to remember those perfect moments in life in which the world just makes sense because they're there. And we also have to strive to be a picture of Jesus for this world who so desperately needs to see it. And so no matter where you go, no matter where God's light is shown into your life, don't forget it. And don't just keep it to yourself, but in those moments of allow God's light to shine in and through you. Amen. Friends, can we please stand for our closing worship?